You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for another adventure into the political cesspool? Of course, that's a rhetorical question. There is only one answer. I'm your trail boss, and let's get on it together. It has been another week in the trenches. It has been another 7 days in the office, and there is never a dull moment being a part of this radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio this evening by Keith Alexander. We're live, unrehearsed, and uncensored. Although, I'm glad we don't have to go more than every Saturday night without talking to one another, ladies and gentlemen, because if we did, we would just never be able to fill you in on everything that happens. What happens between Saturday and Saturday is absolutely incredible. It never ceases to amaze me. If there were ever any doubts that the Political Cesspool radio program is impacting presidential politics, they were laid to rest on Thursday when Hillary Clinton attacked this show. You heard me correctly, ladies and gentlemen. Hillary Clinton's campaign, that is Hillary, the front runner for the presidency of the United States, at least as of this moment, Trump's gaining on her very fast, but as of this moment, she's the front runner. Hillary Clinton's campaign issued an appeal to her supporters that singled out the support of yours truly for Donald Trump. As of this moment, this evening, that article still remains prominently featured at HillaryClinton.com. Let me repeat for effect, ladies and gentlemen. Hillary's campaign issued a statement suggesting that if Donald Trump wins, people like us, James Edwards, Richard Spencer, Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald, Ann Coulter, and David Duke will shape this country. Take 10 seconds and let that sink in. Hillary Clinton feels as though our work is so important that she's attacking us in order to rally her base of support. They even posted images of each of us, those that I just mentioned, on or in, rather, that particular article. I'll read it for you, and then we'll turn it over to Keith. The headline is, Donald Trump's immigration speech got rave reviews from all his biggest fans. Donald Trump delivered the darkest, most disturbing speech of his campaign. He riled up an Arizona crowd with threats of mass deportation, fear-mongering about immigration and crime, and promises of a giant concrete wall. In other words, I'll break it down for you in normal speak. He said he would enforce the laws if he was elected, which certainly it runs contrary to what Hillary Clinton would do. Some people, the article continues, as in white supremacists and right-wing extremists, loved it. In fact, the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, live-tweeted the entire speech. Here's a sample of the other rave reviews Trump received from his hateful, angry speech. And then it has a quote from Ann Coulter, a quote from Kevin McDonald, a quote from Jared Taylor, a quote from Richard Spencer, and a quote from James Edwards, talk radio host who lists his location on Twitter as the Confederate States of America, Hillary wants you to know. And they have me quoted as saying, so much good stuff from Trump tonight, I can't keep up. Deportation forces, cut funding to sanctuary cities, the hits keep coming. The article concludes, this is how Trump and his extremist fans see America, and it's how they'll shape America if we give them the chance. If you don't agree with them, as in James, Richard, Jared, Kevin, Ann, and David, make sure you and every single one of your friends and family are registered to vote. Hey, Keith, I don't think that's turned on.
Well, I think it is. Is it now?
No. Well, let's troubleshoot Keith so we can get him on. Well, it is turned on, but let's just hang on. We'll toggle this thing. We should play a song while we're doing this.
Well,
there you go. Now you're rocking and rolling.
Okay, all I was going to say is that if they don't want that future for America, I've got a second part of advice for them. First, if Hillary isn't elected, and I pray and hope that that's the case, then they need to secede from the United States, where they can be as liberal as they want to be, and all the conservatives up there can move down here, and all the liberals in red state America will fix up a house swap, and they can move north. That's the real long-term solution to this. It's a solution that really should have been in effect from the very beginning. If the anti-federalists, who tended to be Southerners, had really stuck to their guns and not joined the Union, that probably would have been the best solution, because we've had this red state, blue state divide in America almost since its inception. And in the 1820s, it started to heat up. And quite frankly, it's never gone down below a simmer since then. It's up at a full-fledged boil at the present time. Trump is a populist and a nationalist, which I think the majority of people in America are. Some of the liberals, both here in red state America and in blue state America, I think are simply fashionistas. They have been led to believe by the entertainment industry and by the news media and by academia that it's smart and fashionable and trendy to be a liberal. But liberalism, as we say here at the Political Cesspool, is the modern face of evil. And Hillary Clinton and her husband prove that every day.
Well, that is, of course, true, to say the least, Keith. I couldn't help but notice, again, ladies and gentlemen, that when Hillary Clinton's campaign issued this statement, that the people, of all the millions of people that she could have singled out that supported Donald Trump or support Donald Trump and had good things to say about his immigration speech, which we will break down later on in this hour, it was fantastic, to say the least. Of all the people she could have singled out, every person on that list has been a guest on the Political Cesspool in the past 6 weeks, going back to Ann Coulter at the Republican National Convention, David Duke and Richard Spencer were on last week, Kevin McDonald 2 weeks ago, Jared Taylor the week before that. Of the six people she mentioned, it was myself and then five people who have been on this show in the last 2 months. Do you not think, ladies and gentlemen, that they're paying attention to what this program does? This is Hillary Clinton's campaign now.
Look, I think it is not too much to say that the Political Cesspool is the nerve center of the alt-right, and the alt-right is the intellectual nerve center of the Trump campaign.
Well, before it was called the alt-right, the Southern Poverty Law Center certainly said we were the nexus of whatever they called our movement. It wasn't quite as nice as alt-right, but what do you expect?
Hate radio or something.
Yeah, whatever. It was the nexus of hate in America or whatever. But we do bring the interesting people, the people who are making news, are on this show. The people who are making news.
Newsmakers are here.
The newsmakers of importance to our people. Let me put it that way. I mean, we don't have any interest in interviewing Bruce Jenner or anybody like that. But the people of...
Yeah, the phonies like the Kardashians will not be on here.
We're a little bit different broadcast than that, but... Anyway, what a lineup it's been, going back, looking at the people that she's picked off. It was our most recent guest, and then, of course, myself. So that is pretty interesting, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. When they call you by name, you're really gaining ground. We'll talk more about that, and then on to other topics as the program continues. Stay tuned.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I don't think this needs to be stated, but to be clear, we were absolutely thrilled and honored to be attacked by Hillary Clinton. Now, we had been attacked by her lapdogs in the media for years, but now the person who may become president, God forbid, is personally attacking us.
In fact, making us front and center in a big campaign facet of her presidential bid. And she is this attack on the alt-right is going to be a major theme.
And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, and this is the truth, you share in this. None of this is possible. I want you to think about this. This radio program, we were attacked by the Washington Post this week. Now that, again, Keith, I haven't even told you about this yet because it happened after we broke for lunch yesterday. Yesterday afternoon, after me and Keith had lunch, we got attacked by the Washington Post. This is one of the two biggest newspapers in the world, along with the New York Times. This is about the third time the Washington Post has attacked us this year. We are being attacked by the most prominent mouthpieces for the regime around the world, by Hillary Clinton. And I want to tell you something, folks. You share in that. We don't get here. This is a volunteer radio program. None of us draw a salary. We've done this for 12 years, every week, without fail, to the best of our abilities. And look at where we are, thanks entirely, 100%. This isn't James Edwards or Keith Alexander. Yeah, we come in and we do the work. None of it happens. James Edwards and Keith Alexander don't happen without you at home, ladies and gentlemen. You share in this, and you should be proud.
The political cesspool is a family, and everybody that listens, everybody that contributes, everybody that calls us, emails us, tweets us, you're as much a part of this as any of us are. And basically what is happening is that our enemies have been trying to analyze and break down what is happening as they see their world disintegrate, if they see this liberal hegemony that they've had for over 70 years crumbling before their eyes, they want to know why this is happening and who's doing it. And you know what? They have concluded that this political cesspool is a, you know, right at the center of it.
Well, we must remind ourselves the consolation for radicals, which states, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they get angry at you, and before you know it, you're sitting at the table. In the standard playbook of marketing, the stronger brand never mentions the weaker brand. So with Hillary's attack here, mentioning us by name, perhaps this means that our brand is stronger than even we ourselves had believed. It's just incredible.
The gloves have come off, basically.
The national media, Hillary Clinton, they are concerned and are tracking and are listening and are watching what we say on the radio, on social media. They are tuned in. Hillary Rodham Clinton is concerned with what we are saying on this radio program and thinks that we're prominent enough that it will motivate her base to get out the vote to stop Donald Trump.
She and the mainstream, the establishment press, the establishment in academia, entertainment industry, news, they're saying, what is happening? Who's doing this to us? And they have sifted through all the evidence, and they've come up with the alt-right, and they've put the political cesspool in a prominent position within the alt-right.
Well, of course, we mentioned that last week when we interviewed Richard Spencer. There was these news articles, and we were identified by Yahoo News and a few of the other outlets as being one of the prominent people. That's fine. You can call us that. That's fine. I won't refute that. We're just doing the same things we've done for the last 12 years. If that's all right now, then I guess we're all right. But Sam Dixon wrote something that should be remembered, because certainly Hillary's attack, although we're reveling in it and we enjoy it, should be called out for the farce that it is. She is engaged in the silliest imaginable parody of the liberals' form of McCarthyism. The Communist Party has endorsed Hillary Clinton. Gacy, the serial homosexual pederast, was an avid Carter supporter. He gave a fat check to Carter's campaign and got to have his picture taken with Rosalind Carter. Does that mean she was a homosexual serial killer? Hillary might do us a favor and explain the difference between what she is saying here and this attack. The apparently far less prohibitive, her husband's VP, Al Gore, meeting with the Red Chinese to get financial support for the Clinton-Gore campaign. See, all of this stuff needs to be reiterated. This is a very juvenile liberal attempt at McCarthyism, as Sam Dixon points out. And basically what he's driving at there is, because we support Donald Trump doesn't mean Donald Trump agrees with everything that Richard Spencer, James Edwards, and the rest of the people on that list
have to say. But if he thought deeply about it and as long about it as we have, we trust he would come to the same conclusions. That's part of why we're supporting Donald Trump.
Well, I think there's certainly some overlap. There's no doubt about that. There's some congruency there, but...
Well, see, the difference between the alt-right and the alt-light is that the alt-right is not afraid to tackle the two great taboos of political correctness, race, and Jewish power and influence. The others are, but without having that... Kevin MacDonald wrote a wonderful article in the past couple of weeks about this, saying that basically, what is happening is that there's going to have to be a new intellectual core for the new Trump brand of conservatism. And the alt-right stands ready, willing, and able to do that. We have the publications like Occidental Observer and Taki Mag and things like this that could take the place of the Weekly Standard, the National Review commentary, groups like that, or publications like that. And we have the overarching intellectual apparatus system worked out that you have to have. Groups that just nibble around the edges like Numbers USA and things like that, that just focus on something like immigration, you can't really understand and attack the left effectively unless you take in the big picture. People need to understand that race is a big part of it. They need to understand also that liberalism's basic thrust is hatred of white people. And that's what their end game would look like. It'll look like what's happening in South Africa and in Zimbabwe when they get our numbers down based on the natural animus that other groups hold towards the white race.
Well, they always say when we're in the press, which is now absolutely positively every week, one of the things they always mention, the political cesspool is a quote-unquote white supremacist outlet, because we say we want the white birth rate to reach replacement level fertility. So even wanting to survive now is a white supremacist notion, according to the press. Now, we're going to get off of this and get on to Trump's campaign speech on immigration in Arizona in the next segment. But one final parting shot on this, ladies and gentlemen. reminding you we must stand together. We have been regularly targeted by Hillary's lapdogs in the media for years, as I mentioned. Now she is attacking us. We want you to defy Hillary Clinton by making a contribution to our groundbreaking talk radio program. We want you to go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and donate. Our third quarter fundraising drive kicked off on September 1st, and we've got some excellent incentives there. They're at the website. You can go to the blog and read about them. We'll talk more about that later, but time doesn't permit right now. The third quarter fundraising drive just kicked off already during this show. Mark from right here in the Memphis area and Ken in Baldwin, New York have donated. These are people who donate absolutely every single quarter. So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Ken. We love you both.
And we couldn't do it without you.
Absolutely not. And this show is sustained by $25, $50, $100 contributions. If you can give tonight to defy Hillary Clinton, stand in solidarity with the people who are doing this as volunteers and are battling people who are funded by billionaires and standing toe-to-toe with them.
We're at the spear point, folks. We are at the cutting edge of all of this. It's, you know, don't take our word for it. Check Hillary.com.
That's right. Please stand with us and be counted. You know how important our quarterly fundraising drives are to our endeavor here and to our efforts. We're going to continue to provide leadership if you can continue to provide us with the means to make our budget. It's not cheap doing a nationally syndicated talk radio program. We thank you for your considerations. Donate tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and that will be a nice way of telling Hillary Clinton what you think.
We're actually a lot like the Trump campaign. He depends on $25 to $100 campaign contributions, too.
I think he gets a few more than we do, probably. But we're grateful for everything we get, and we couldn't do it without you folks. So think about that during the commercials. We'll be back with more right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. State-sanctioned killing sprees, tragically, are not a novelty in the Philippines, but never before in the country's history have they been carried out with explicit presidential sanction, as is the case under Rodrigo Duterte. The six-month body count in Duterte's Dead or Alive anti-drug campaign approaches 2,500 people, almost all of whom are residents of municipal slums. The New Republic notes that what remains unclear is whether those killed and imprisoned are even involved in the drug trade. An estimated 675,000 people have reportedly surrendered voluntarily to police, leaving city jails filled beyond capacity. Many of those who have turned themselves in are seeking refuge from arbitrary murder rather than confessing to actual crimes. Vigilante groups assemble rosters of suspected drug dealers and users that are turned over to the police. Many are rounded up in nightly knock-and-plead operations conducted by police on a list of suspected drug users compiled by neighborhood captains, the New Republic observes, with as many as 10 SWAT officers at the door and the police asserting, "We know you are a user," the choice to give in might be less of an admission of guilt than a self-preservation instinct, better to be institutionalized than killed. This method of warrantless apprehension is tantamount to a coerced confession, said Cecilia Lero, a Manila-based human rights advocate.
For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I was just, again, thinking during that commercial break about all the press we've gotten over these last 12 years, but particularly this year where it's just been nonstop. It's been nonstop since the last week of February, every week, from the Washington Post, the New York Times, Reuters, you name it, they've covered us this year. We couldn't pay for that kind of coverage. What
millions of dollars worth of coverage, and, you know, it reminds me of a movie that was popular in the early 60s, an English movie called The Mouse That Roared. If they knew the small operation that we have and it's having this much influence, we must be tapped into the zeitgeist.
If we had the funding of these other networks, we would take over the country. There's just no doubt. I look at what we're doing off of, if we had a tenth of the funding, I look at what we're doing. I mean, honestly, what it costs to run this show every year is probably what a good production assistant makes in terms of a salary. And we're taking on the global press. Hillary Clinton is denouncing us. This is, I don't want to dwell on that because this isn't a bat padding session for us. This is something to show you, ladies and gentlemen, how valuable you are, and that your voice is being heard through the political cesspool, through us. We're your proxy, and we get out your heartfelt concerns to the world, and the world has taken notice.
And the denunciations that we've gotten from groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center almost immediately, almost when we first got on the radio, it didn't take them more than a couple of months to hone in on us. There's a reason for that. They know that we're dangerous. We're dangerous because we're tapped into the zeitgeist of what Sam Francis called Middle American radicals. We are the people who give a voice to what Spiro Agnew called the silent majority. Everybody that it strikes a resonant chord with people when they hear what we're saying. All we're saying is common sense. And we're like the little boy that told the emperor he had no clothes. We have the courage to do it, and few do.
Well, we have the means to do it here on the AM radio airwaves, and that's what makes us so unique, because there is some legitimacy and credibility that comes with that. But it all goes back to the backbone of support that we get from our audience. Now, we got to move on. But talking about the media, I don't even talk to the media anymore. The less I talk to them, the more they write about us.
The more they obsess about you.
And we've turned down more than 100 interviews this year, but they were really upset. You know, Trump went down to Mexico, did an amazing appearance there with the Mexican president, then knocked it out of the park. Grand slam speech on immigration in Phoenix. And we're going to talk about that.
What a great instinct it was for him to do that. Hillary is obviously afraid of her own shadow. She is doing everything she can to avoid the spotlight, and she can't draw flies to her rallies. You know, and then Trump takes up the president of Mexico on his offer, comes down there and owns him, owns the media, comes across looking like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and Andrew Jackson all rolled into one as some type of ideal president. And, I mean, every one of his enemies is weeping, wailing, gnashing their teeth, and rending their garments about it.
I got into it a little bit with the press via Twitter. You can do that. You can tag other people in Twitter. If you're not following us yet on Twitter, Hillary Clinton is, because she captured a screenshot of my Twitter. We've been on Twitter for 2 weeks.
Which one of her 13 devices she is using to monitor us with.
Well, nevertheless, we've been on Twitter for 3 weeks, and it was a screenshot from my Twitter account, or the Twitter account for this program, James Edwards TPC, at James Edwards TPC. Go ahead and follow us if you haven't done so already. Hillary's on there and following us, obviously. And anyway, the press was really pouting that Trump ditched them in Phoenix when he went down to Mexico. He didn't let his traveling press corps come with them. And listen to some of the rich things that the press was saying, that Trump was setting a distressing precedent today. He's traveling to Mexico, but the traveling press attached to him has not been invited. We're in Phoenix. And I responded, I can't imagine why he wouldn't want to be surrounded by a pack of degenerates and liars, but it gets better.
Well, think about this, too, while we're on that. Hillary Clinton doesn't even let them on her plane.
Well, she hadn't done a press conference in a year. And another, they were all saying how upsetting and how disturbing this precedent was. One of them, a national news reporter, actually had the audacity to say, everyone should be mad about this because it sets a terrible precedent for transparency and truth, as if the media has the least bit of care or concern about truth and transparency.
The New York Times has admitted it. They've thrown out any pretense of being objective and reasonable and even-handed in their coverage of Trump.
I asked if Trump could deport the media once he becomes president. I really do hope that he loosens the libel laws protecting these thugs. They deserved to be sued.
Well, what
this
have
is
we,
the definition
what have we
of libel, what they do to us every week.
What have we said from the beginning of the Trump campaign? Trump is going to need to have his own media because the other media will all be lined up 100% in opposition to him, and they will basically prepare the traps necessary to have him impeached if he gets in there without having a media voice. A Trump network, which has been mentioned in the news media, mainstream news media lately, would be a great idea. Of course, our original idea was a hostile takeover of NPR. You know, the government runs that, and he'll be in charge of the government. And he could do it easily if he wanted to. That would make at least two organs, NPR and a Trump network, that could try to compete against CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, C-SPAN, MSNBC, and all the other alphabet soup broadcast entities that are lined up against Trump.
He could pay me, you, Eddie, Sam, Winston, Scoop. We'll be there for
him. You could split Anderson Cooper's salary between all of us, and we'd be happy.
That's exactly right. And then you'd actually get some truth out of us, which is unlike anything you'll get out of Anderson. But let's talk briefly, and I'm going to cover this briefly tonight because I think everyone knows that what happened in Phoenix, Arizona, when Donald Trump gave his immigration speech was a display of manifest magnificence. And it was as though Pat Buchanan was freelancing.
He was channeling Pat Buchanan.
Well, no, I was going to say, well, that too, but he was. It was as if Pat had come out and was freelancing as a speechwriter again, as he was once for Richard Nixon. But very powerful when Trump had the mothers of people who had been murdered by
a stroke of sheer genius,
illegal aliens, and the press said that looked like a hate group. And so this is where we're at with the press. This is what it's come to.
Average Americans whose children have been killed by illegal aliens
that
are
constitutes
a hate group. You know why they look like a hate group? What did I say the primary animus of liberalism was? Hatred of white people. They were hateful because they were white people.
If Donald Trump gives a performance like he did in Phoenix during the debates, he's going to mop the floor with crooked Hillary. He's going to send her into a seizure. Trump said there will be no amnesty, period. It was one of the fastest hours outside of the political cesspool that I can remember having. It went by so fast watching this speech. It was his most cogent speech to date. I was very impressed with the delivery, the style, the substance. What he did in Mexico earlier was very dignified and presidential.
They were landing haymakers every time. There was no rope-a-dope. There was no ducking and nodding and whatnot. Every time he spoke, he landed a haymaker.
Other countries will take their people back when we order them deported, he said. Other things that he said, no one will be immune from or exempt from enforcement of these laws. That means that all illegals will be subject to deportation, not just the ones that have committed crimes above and beyond coming here uninvited.
No wonder Hillary's scared. You know, if crime is actually going to be punished under Trump, she and Bill have an awful lot to be worried about.
He said that he's going to call for tripling the ICE deportation officers. He wants a deportation task force to hunt down criminal illegals. As we said before, Pat Buchanan may have lost the battle, but Trump is winning the war for him. He said, on day one, in my first hour in office, these people, talking about criminal illegal aliens, are gone. You can call it deported if you want. That's a direct quote. They're gone. That's what Trump said.
Well, remember what we said earlier in the year. Actually, Pat Buchanan won the election in 1996. It's just taken 20 years to count the votes.
As it says in the good book in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, I sought for a man among them who would build a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that it would not be destroyed. I think that man is Donald Trump.
It's Horatio at the bridge.
And, of course, we've been inside, Keith, the press pen at his rallies, and we can testify that the ground shakes when he says he's going to build that wall. And that was just an incredible experience, which really started this whole thing.
And Coulter has totally come back. All is forgiven, Donald. Was beginning to have a little bit of skepticism about your handling things, mediating. But now she's back in the fold, totally.
He says Mexico will pay for the wall. He reiterated that just hours after meeting with the Mexican president. They don't know it yet, he said, but they're going to pay for it. It will be beautiful and impenetrable. He said it's going to go sky high and below the ground. It was just...
maybe radioactive.
Sensors and everything. All right, we got to take a break. It was just a great speech. I think we've already posted it on our website. If not, you can find it anywhere. We'll post it there, too. But anyway, we'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said, sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, I do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke. Because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. Again, keep this in mind as we prepare to go to the polls now in just a few short weeks. Two reasons for Trump, if you can't go with any other. Immigration, which is the single biggest issue, demographics is destiny, You want to live in a third world country, import a third world population. That's all you got to do. And secondly, of course, his Supreme Court nominations. And you say, well, what if he gets elected and he doesn't do the things that we're hoping he'll do? Then what have we lost? We've lost nothing. It would be the exact same thing if any other Republican candidate in that field of 16 had won.
And it would be better than Hillary, who will be full speed ahead with globalism and with attacks on, you know, changing the demographic profile of our nation. We have two big comments that we always use on this show that are very pertinent here. One is liberalism is the modern face of evil. Two, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. That is the pivot point. That's their strategy for defeating us once and for all.
All right. So we have been talking about trivial matters during this first hour: immigration, Supreme Court, Trump versus Hillary, Hillary's attacks on the political cesspool, all trivial. Scoop Stanton is with us now to talk about something important.
Bring some gravitas to the
table. He is going to come and talk about something important, and that is the latest scandal involving Anthony Weiner. Now, we got to get down to meat and potatoes now and get to the real
We've had enough Weiner, no pun intended.
All right, Scoop, tell us what's going on.
All right, thank you, James. Well, we first want to remember St. John the Baptist Parish, Louisiana, Fire Chief Sean Chauvin, who died Sunday when an illegal alien driving a bus full of other illegal aliens struck Chief Chauvin. We also want to remember and mourn the loss of Officer Clint Corvingus of the Alamogordo, New Mexico Police Department. Officer Corvingus was shot and killed yesterday in a foot pursuit. Again, nothing from the White House. Now the rest of the brief. Our favorite Democrat made it in the news yet a third time. Yep, Anthony Weiner was caught sexting yet again. The incident allegedly took place during the course of 2015, and this time the other woman was a Trump supporter. Now, the New York Post did a whole expose on the story, and they showed pictures of the other participant. I could say it's Hubba Hubba. Except one of the pictures had one of the pictures this time had Weiner's son climb into the bed, and so he was taking a picture of his undergarments with his son sitting right there.
Well, he's crossed a line there.
Fortunately, there's no picture of the appendage with the little Weiner. Surprising though, no one, this is Weiner, Uma Abedin, had decided to separate from the perverted politician. Now, my opinion is that New York lost the greatest chance to have the greatest mayor of all time, better than Giuliani. Because just imagine, back in December of 2014, with a press conference with Officer Lou Ramos, here comes Anthony Weiner walking up, no pants on, with his junk hanging out. Same thing with a school opening, funerals for firefighters, police officers, dignitaries coming to Gracie Mansion. He can be sitting there and his thing just be flapping in the wind like a flag. It would be the greatest thing New York City has ever, ever seen.
New York would finally get its fill of Weiner.
Right.
How many puns can we fit into one segment?
Too many. But anyways, see, what gets me is that, this is why you listen to Political Cesspool, folks. This scandal might be a shell game, as Breitbart and the Washington Post, among other media outlets, question Huma Abedin's connection to the Muslim Brotherhood. See, from 1996 to 2008, Ms. Abedin was the editor of something called the Journal of Minority Islamic Affairs for some pro-Islamic group based in Saudi Arabia. And the head of the Islamic group had ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. So, and we all know how tolerant the people of Saudi Arabia is. So, folks, connect the dots. So, this was about a week before Mr. Weiner's pictures came to pass. So, I rarely question the timing of the third sexting scandal versus the media, including the Washington Post, coming out saying Huma Abedin has some connections to the Muslim Brotherhood and other radical Islamic organization, and then Hillary says absolutely nothing. So, it's surprising to no one, Mrs. Abedin filed for divorce. I don't know why, because her boss, is a punching bag for Bill the Philanderer and Rapist. So it's going to be very interesting. James Keith, back to you.
You bring up a very interesting point, Scoop, in that the Wiener stuff is, I guess, what's the German word for it, Keith?
Schadenfreude.
That's exactly what it is. Very good, by the way. Very good pronunciation on that. That's for fun. It's
or
worth
as
mentioning.
The French say nostalgia de la bulle. In other words, love of the sewer.
Well, this is the political cesspool.
Right.
So that's certainly a fitting topic. But Huma is finally able to file for a divorce so she can be with the one she truly loves, which is Hillary. But this is...
And gay marriage is now
it's legal.
Legal
now, so they're good to go.
So they're free to follow their hearts.
A quick sidetrack to show how degenerate the domino effect can be. We went from the sodomite marriage thing, which is just abominable. Now we have a headline out of the UK this week. Transgender man surprised by pregnancy. Just try to wrap your mind around that. Basically, what the story is, they're calling this person a man. It's obviously a woman because she was able to conceive a child. But they're saying man has surprised pregnancy because it's a woman who is mentally ill enough to believe she's a man. She's pregnant, but the press is calling her a man, saying this is a male pregnancy.
Can you imagine
That's
how
where we're at.
Can you imagine how confusing it is to be a liberal nowadays?
I mean, I was reading that, and they kept using male pronouns, and they had a picture to illustrate the article. It's a female pregnant, and they're using male pronouns, and I'm like, what? This was just this morning. I actually tweeted about it at James Edwards TPC on Twitter.
Well, let me put the final cherry on top of this Anthony Weiner story. I understand that some porn site has reached out to Weiner. They figured that he must be pathetically and, you know, terminally horny, and they're trying to basically trim his horns back. They're going to make him one of their stable of stars or something like this. You know, the truth is stranger than fiction, and it shows that there's no depth to which you can descend, which the left establishment in America will not reward.
Well, I got sidetracked in the whole homosexual marriage, this man's having a baby, according to the press. Don't let your lying eyes fool you. But anyway, Scoop, the point is, since February, and still to this day, because when the Washington Post attacked us yesterday, they made mention of the fact that we were at Donald Trump's rally in Memphis, we were at the Republican National Convention. Still to this day, the biggest news outlets in the world are talking about the fact that the political cesspool went to these events. No one's talking about the fact. Now, we're a God-fearing, paleo-conservative, pro-Southern, pro-family, pro-life. We're meat and potatoes. We are apple pie.
We're all American.
We're Mayberry. We're all American. This is who we are. They're still talking about us having that association with Trump. It didn't even make it 48 hours in this Aberdeen connection with the radical Muslim paper that she worked for.
Or
That's
with
gone.
The Democratic front runner or the Democratic
it's
candidate for presidency. That close connection, you know, the silence is deafening.
Scoop, remind our audience again, this publication that Aberdeen worked for that in less than 2 days has been completely scrubbed from the narrative while the Washington Post is still talking about Donald Trump's alleged association with us. Go, Scoop.
Well, it was the Journal of Minority Islamic Affairs. And again, not only did Huma have some, she was the editor, her brother worked on the journal, and also her parents that moved her from Kalamazoo, Michigan to Saudi Arabia, they're also involved. But we can't be bothered with those facts, James. We need to be worried about some Country Bumpkin radio show with a bunch of hicks from Memphis and the District of Columbia and New York and Bridgeport, Connecticut, telling the truth. And they don't like the ugly truth. That's why for 2-3 days, all you heard was Donald Trump is a member of the Klan. Donald Trump is chose David Duke as vice president, another, and then they're all over the political cesspool. Meanwhile, Hillary hasn't had a press conference in I don't know how long. She hasn't come out with any new ideas. she hasn't even come out, period, because, I mean, if you look at her, she looks on death's door.
It's like Groundhog Day. She's gone out, seen her shadow, and jumped back in.
Nobody can find her. Donald Trump in one day was in Mexico, Arizona, New York, and Ohio. I think within a 48-hour period, he was in those four locations. Hillary was asleep for that.
She's like Hitler hiding in his bunker or something. You know, she is down there. She will not. She's in the bowels of some organization.
Yeah, except at least Hitler was being bombarded on all sides. He had a reason to hide. Hillary is completely
throwing marshmallows at her.
I mean, she's completely given cover and safe passage by the press. So there's no reason for her unless she's sick, which I believe she is in more ways than one. Obviously, mentally. And perhaps
well, physically.
All right, Scoop, thank you for your contributions tonight. Folks, second hour coming up. Stay tuned.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.